Hello and welcome to Brussels Unplugged. Today I'm here in the European Parliament with one of our youngest elected members, Fidias from Cyprus, born on the 10th of April in 2000. Formerly,
tomorrow is my birthday.
I know, I don't want to jinx it, so I won't say anything. I'm Italian, so I'm a bit superstitious. But yes, yeah, from Cyprus, former YouTube, served a bit in the Navy as well, and has been revolutionizing political communication. So, Fidias, how did you decide to jump into politics? It's such a big choice, such a life-changing, putting your private life was definitely a bit more, let's say, in the public view than most before jumping into politics. But when did you decide?
It started mostly for fun.
Okay.
I was a YouTuber. I had 2.5 million subscribers. And then I said, oh, European elections are coming. So I don't even know what European politicians do. But like, I didn't even know that this job exists. But someone told me it's a good video to actually try to get elected. So Nico Milan, I think, did, okay, as a YouTuber, did something in UK. Yeah. And as a mayor, London mayor and so all this stuff. So I said it would be a good video. But deep in my heart, I was a bit disappointed with politics, I think.
How so?
Well, I didn't feel represented. I saw these politicians with costume basically lying to me. And like, I never voted in my life. I said, fuck this bullshit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be. But then I started thinking, taking this decision. I said, if me, I'm not saying that I'm something special, that I was one of the most famous people in Cyprus, like having these long and big platforms, I'm not trying to change this. I wanted to do something. They say you need to be the change that you want to see in the world.
So absolutely.
I wanted to be the change that I wanted to see in politics. So I did it for fun and for a video. It was also profitable for me because I made a video and I made money for the video to the campaign. And also I was the most so surprised. Like when running, I knew that I didn't have a chance of getting elected. Basically, if I gave myself like 2-3% chance of success before I started. But when something is important enough, you need to do it no matter what are the odds. So anyways, end up like we use this social media in a very clever way. I'm not going to lie, I'm very good in social media because that was my job, to get attention and to make money from the attention online before. So I knew exactly what I was going to do, and kind of the feedback loop led me, because when you upload a video and you get a lot of comments, like live feedback loop, opinion poll immediately.
Absolutely.
So if you upload for a day, it's like it tells you exactly what to do in 1 month. The people tell you exactly what the narratives to speak about and all this stuff. So I played the social media game extremely well, and also honesty, because I didn't say, I said to everyone, guys, I don't know anything about politics.
I remember.
And vote for me, because we need to, I will take you on the journey to explain you what is happening in politics, and we're going to learn together and I will improve. But I'm successful in YouTube, so I'm not completely stupid. So
absolutely, absolutely. And
that's kind of the start.
I wanted to really ask you about precisely your use of social media. You touched upon it, how I remember when you got here to Brussels / Strasbourg, that you asked what political grouping you should join. Well, you're an independent political grouping. You also asked how you should vote on the VDL commission, the current. And I think this is fantastic, as in to bring people closer to politics, because it often seems so far, just because either you can't reflect yourself in the people elected, the ideas, or just simply, you know, how dogs smell each other, really. So I'm getting to the question. The question is, it's fantastic when it's on matters like these, but there are some chambers out there around the world that then take security and military decisions as well by vote. So where do we draw the line, essentially, in this digital direct participation of democracy?
So basically your question is about the approach that I took. So to explain everyone, we had to vote for Ursula von der Leyen, for example, which is kind of the leader of the EU.
Yes.
And she came to the European Parliament, and I said, well, my vote will not matter anyway. We know that she will get elected. So let's make noise about this and let's ask the people if they want her. And 80% of the people voted that they don't want her. But of course, I took the feedback and it's like, yeah, it was people from the United States, people from Colombia. They were writing comments from Colombia, and I voted for this. Whoa, crazy. And so we had these comments. So what we we took the feedback and now we developed an app. Okay. We developed an app that you can verify that you are from Cyprus, that you can put your phone number and all this stuff. Okay. So we know they're European citizens and they're voting through the app. But now let's take a step back.
People vote the same amount. Did you see a decrease in numbers or an increase in numbers of...
Now, because it's just the Cypriots, and now we only have it open for 1,000 people.
Okay.
Because we're testing the app. So I think in less than one month, it will be open to the whole Cyprus, and then we're going to move, hopefully, ideally, in a year to all the EU.
Okay.
But, this is not, I'm not sure if direct democracy is the solution to all this stuff for people to vote, but I'm so disappointed by the political system. It's just divided. People are fighting. We don't have, and it's not successful. Democracy as it is, yes, is maybe the best system that we ever had, leading the population and doing stuff, but it's very problematic in a lot of ways. I see this as, let's say, horses. We had horses and now we have cars, and then now we have planes and maybe flying cars in the future. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think that the democracy should evolve. How the communication evolves, it can become different. And in Greece, this happened 3,000 years ago, I think, with direct democracy. People were voting on matters that how they decided to, should we go on a war with this or not? I think, because I don't like so much centralized power, because I don't trust anyone to lead me ultimately, except myself, because I'm me, but I don't, other people shouldn't trust me to lead them because they are not. So,
for words, being elected in office.
Yeah, so I want to the power kind of to be decentralized in a way. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of what we're trying to do. Also, this app that we're doing, we're thinking to also create a political party in my country, Cyprus, and to elect all the representatives and the MPs and all this stuff. With everyone can register to be an MP in this app, and people who are going to have elections in this app, and people can vote for who they want to elect for the party, who will be the representatives of the party. And I can have opinions and I can make video and explain, I like this guy, I like this guy, I'm a normal human being, not the leader of the party, to take all the decisions on me. This is definitely maybe not a step forward, maybe it's a step backwards, but you need to trial and error to improve and innovate. So this is not only with this that we're trying to innovate, but we're trying to we already innovated the communication of the EU. We got, I think, 2.5 billion views in 8 months, talking about the most boring thing ever, the European Union.
My God, a lot of bureaucraties in there. Well, you just gave me a lot of food for thought. This app seems very, very fantastic. And I agree with you. I think this is a bit of a Europe-wide problem, though, because I'm half Italian, half American. And when you look at, for example, elections in the US, it's very much about the candidate that goes against the other candidate, right? Not just at the presidential level, even at the lower levels of politics. And we don't have that as much here. You don't have, for example, MPs that are running in a certain geographical region to be elected, in the Italian Chamber of Deputies, going one-on-one, for example, on debates, making it really about the person and not, let's say, the political tribe. How do you think we can bridge that further?
So I'm not sure if I understand what you are making connotations that you like what you see in the United States or that you don't like. And we want more of that debating and individualistic approach to politics in Europe. This is what you're saying?
In my opinion, yes, absolutely. I think we need to dislocate a little bit more from the political tribes and put really the spotlight more on the individuals that are running for office and have them debate.
It's an interesting thought. To be honest, I think we're going to see that. For me in Cyprus, I don't have anyone behind me. It's just me.
Yeah,
I'm independent in Cyprus. I'm independent here. Just elected by the people from social media. So I don't have any agenda. I didn't promise to them anything. I would just promise them that, guys, let's learn all together. And I'm doing this. And I'm trying to be useful along the way. But I think it was 4 MEPs in the 720 that got elected independent. So I think we're going to see a lot more of this. Also, we see United States, Republican Party is not Republican Party, it's Trump. So So it's like we see a lot more this phase thing. And I think also we see with this with companies. Like you don't know about Coca-Cola. You would know Coca-Cola, but like with Tesla, you have Elon Musk. With Apple, you have Steve Jobs. So I think this kind of facing the brand in a way, it's a lot, you can connect a lot more. So I think we're moving to these types of politics, I think, in the future. But I'm not sure if it's for the better or for the worst. But I think this is what the trajectory we're moving in the world. And I see it with my own experience.
Fantastic. Okay. So now that you've, because you talked about political priorities, now that you've been in Brussels, and I know that you're from Cyprus. Cyprus, as we all know, is a country divided.
I'm not sure if we all know, but guys, you should.
You definitely should know. Absolutely. You definitely should know.
It's been divided. It's been 51 years since the Turkish invasion in 1974. Like, okay, but I don't want to be on. Things happened before 1974 that led up to this. We had a civil war. Mm. We had the problems with the. We have Turkish Cypriot community that is 20% of the population of the island. So a lot of things happened, but like definitely Turkey doesn't justify to come and occupy 38% of the territory of Cyprus. Fuck Turkey. We love Turkish people, but we don't like the people that decided to invade Cyprus.
So. What do you think Brussels could do more to help?
Well, you know, to help Cyprus, you mean?
Yes.
The situation.
Well, you know, I was in a podcast yesterday with Duran, and I asked this Alexander Mercouris, I don't know if you heard of him. He's a very good political analyzer of the current sort of foreign affairs kind of politics and geopolitics. And I asked him, like, how we should approach the Cyprus problem. And I like his answer. He's saying that you guys are just trying to fix Cyprus with trying to convince other people to help you to fix Cyprus. Like, we're trying to convince the EU to push Turkey. We're trying to convince UK to do this. We're trying to convince United States to do this. But everyone, or Russia, to everyone comes with their own agenda. Nobody will come to save you because they just would like to do good deeds. Everyone has their own agenda and they're going to want stuff from you. So he said to me, maybe you stop look for external help and try to find the other community and like just speak with them and try to cooperate and just try to solve it by yourself, the problem. It's not as easy because we have Turkey also influencing the Turkish Cypriots and all this stuff. But I think this is what we should do. I like his answer. But of course, like I'm here in the European Parliament, I'm not going to say, sit here and do nothing. So a lot of the times when I can, because we always put, there is a problem all the time about Russia, people say in the European Parliament. Turkey did the same thing, but I don't see any people not giving money to Turkey, not do it. There is a strong collaboration between us. So I don't know. It's a very sensitive topic, but I think we don't need to stop looking outwards for help, and we need to take our own fate in our hands.
Fantastic. Talking about taking the faith in their own hands, I'm a bit sorry about this, but I've never been to Cyprus.
Don't be. But Cyprus is a very beautiful island.
Oh, absolutely.
People is a lot similar to Italian kind of vibe in the beach and all this stuff. But it's different language, a bit better food even than the Italian.
In Italian?
Well, I mean, it's controversial, but I'm convinced myself.
Fair enough.
Not being biased at all.
But I wanted to ask you, for people like myself that have never been, how's the day-to-day life? How's the day-to-day life for the people in Cyprus? That there's a little line in the middle that says, this is one side, this is the other.
I mean, about the division. Yeah.
Day-to-day.
Well, we hate it. Like, we hate it. And, like, for me, I got a lot of backlash after I got elected because I said to my fellow Greek Cypriots, I said, guys, we be hating the other community, the Turkish Cypriots, for a lot of time. Like, I think we should stop this division. I think we should forgive and love them. And like, they say, oh, people, attack me the fuck out of me. Hundreds of people, thousands of people still commenting because they say you are against this. Because, you know, my uncle, the invasion 1974 has been lost. So I never met him because, and like my, I grew up with stories. My father was saying to me that his mother, my grandmother, wanted to suicide. And my father was 7 years old and he was saying to her, please, please don't die, mother. You don't think about us. So when you grow up with these stories, when this stuff happened to your family, it's not easy to love and to forgive. And like, that's why there is embedded in us this problem. And that a lot of the times my other fellow MEP, historically, that they come from Cyprus, they mostly talk about this topic because the population wants us to talk about this topic. It's very embedded in us. It's difficult, but like, life is beautiful, even if Cyprus is a relatively rich country. There is recently some struggling with the economy and all the stuff of the poorer people. Relatively, we are improving. The technology is improving. The world is improving. And if you take the microscope of politics, what is happening, as a society and as the planet, we're having better and better. Like 20, 30 years ago, 150 years ago, I think the life was a lot worse. So I think life is a lot better. So it's very cool to be alive, to live this human experience.
Indeed. And it's even sunny today in Brussels, which is...
Even sunny here in Brussels.
Yo, how's your relocation? How's living in Brussels going for you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just here in the parliament. I live here in the parliament. I don't know anything else.
Really? Gosh.
24/7. I love it though. Because it's like a lot of people play video games or they go out with their friends and they do have. But for me, I have my friends here, like all my team. I didn't choose them because they are my friends. Most of my team, like 95% of the team, I hired them based on online with data applications and we hired the best of the best because it became my family. So yesterday we left off here at 2 a.m. in the morning. So we're like five people here till 2 a.m. I don't force them. They want this. They like this. This is our hanging out kind of. We have fun, but we're working. We're trying to be productive. And because there is a sense of mission as well, because not only with the social media, it can affect a lot, like the perception of the people to understand what really is the parliament, not the whole parliament does great things about you, but it does a lot of great things. It does also a lot of bad things. Let's discuss both of them. Let's exactly understand what the parliament does transparently. So this is what we're trying to do. And also the one regulation, like for example, yesterday, I think that a change, an amendment on a regulation passed in the community that I am. And now Cyprus will be allowed to get millions and millions of dollars because of something that I tried to do lobby here in the European Parliament. So it's interesting word that is here in the Parliament. Try to not be doing things in the same boring way. Like, for example, how did I lobby? I'm independent. I don't have a political group to back me. I went and knocked on every door of the other members and I said, hello, I know you don't want to see me here. I know you are busy, but I want to tell you about this and this and this. And because majority of the parliament knows me, because they heard about me, he's this clown kid that is doing social media, but it's also cool because he's bringing light to our work and all this stuff. So people are excited to talk to me and explain them my amendments. Yesterday, they voted for my amendments. It passed by one vote. It was 15 votes yes, 14 no. So it's interesting. Yeah. And I also made a video and sent them customly to all the members that I did. And I said, hello, I know your name. This is Fidias. This is the amendments that I want you to pass. So we're trying to do this in a more people here, they have an ego. Like, I'm going to go and knock on their door. What if they don't answer? What if they don't want to see me? Like, who cares, bro? So I don't have these types of things. It's like, whatever I want, I just want to make it happen. So I try to find everything possible to make it happen. So, like, you know, being immature and also not very experienced can be a great asset. I'm not going
Absolutely.
To. Because I don't have a playbook. I'm like saying what we need now. Okay, we need majority of this committee that are 30 people to vote for my amendments. Let's break it down. How do we do it? Let's not, they did it in the past. Oh, they go and write emails and they try to arrange meetings and they try, but there is not enough time. It was only 2 days.
Yeah.
So we tried to do things in a different way, in every way possible, but kind of thinking about the, not how it's been done before, there was the common sense to do, and also being in our style kind of a way.
That's fantastic.
By the way, we're not perfect. Come on. I'm trained that we are doing things amazing. We're making so many mistakes every day, but we're learning. We make a lot of mistakes, but you need to make mistakes to be able to evolve and learn. I cringe at myself 3 months ago. I'm like, how stupid politician. Now I feel still I am relatively stupid, but a lot wiser than 3 months ago and 6 months or 8 months ago when I was selected. Yeah. We are not perfect. We are not perfect, and a lot of people recognize this. Even if I'm stupid, or even if we have good intentions. We don't have.
Yeah.
We want to help. So I think this is important. But the problem is that because maybe if I'm stupid or whatever, it's a different story. But because I'm effective, actually. It's a double-edged sword because when we are going to do whatever we say, we're going to try to make it happen. Usually it's not the case in politics. We just talk. So it's I don't know, it's very dangerous or also very good if we do the things right.
That is fantastic. So we're reaching nearly the end of the time that we have today. And you did say that you're always in here, right? But you have to find a way to unplug sometimes. So how do you relax? What are you reading? What are you watching? Do you have a list of restaurants?
Well, I never feel that I want to unplug. I'm enjoying this. This is fun. Like the only thing that because I'm a bit of as much extrovert I look, I want I found that at least 3 hours a day I want to be alone kind of.
Okay.
So this is a long reading or thinking or searching stuff on my laptop, speaking with ChatGPT. It's my best, most smartest friend that I have. So these types of things. But for example, once in a while, I don't know what was the last time that I did this in 6 months ago when it was the birthday of my girlfriend, my fiancé. Should correct that. We went to Spain and for 3-4 days. But tomorrow, because it's my birthday, we're leaving tonight with my fiance is here. We're going to do skiing in France.
Ah, okay.
So, maybe. But I do these types of things. But also when I go there, I will read books. I will still work online with the team and all this stuff. But one thing that I really found very useful is maybe 1 week a year or 3 days, 4 days every quarter to stop social media and lock myself in a room for a week or for 3 days. And I just think, take all the devices out and I just think and write on paper because we're so busy with the moving and fast paced life. And sometimes we forget to see the actual truth, the actual important things. But when you unplug for 3-4 days, you start having very high quality, interesting thoughts. Yeah. So I do that a couple of times per year too, but it still work because this is what for me work is I go to the gym and I consider that work as well because I'm more excited, I'm more energetic. Mm-hmm. So for me, everything is work, but I love my work and it doesn't feel like work. So kind of like that.
That's fantastic. Like the old saying, find a job you love and you won't work a day.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Fidesz, for taking the time today to chat with us here, Brussels Unplugged. It's been very interesting to get to know a little bit more in detail how you're revolutionizing politics here in Brussels. Well, I wish you the best in this process.
Yes, wish me luck, not the best. Luck is the ultimate power.
Indeed.
Thank you guys for watching. We love you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.